This has been kind of a full morning. I almost feel like we could close in prayer and go home, and I'd be all right with that, you know? But I have a word that I'm going to make short that I'd like to share this morning called Our Response. And so awesome to have you guys with us. Gosh. Oh. No, no. No, really, so good having you with us, and thank you for just stepping into to just sharing and prophesying and encouraging our hearts. Really, really means a lot to us this morning. So, ironically enough, I'm going to be sharing that God speaks to us. God speaks to us. He speaks to His children. From the beginning, when He spoke the worlds into existence, right? He spoke to Adam. He spoke to Cain. He speaks to His kids. Amen? And then when He speaks to us, especially when He asks us to do something, now the ball is kind of in our court, so to speak. And it's up to us to decide what we're going to do with this word. Jonah, go to Nineveh and preach repentance. And Jonah had a decision to make at that point. And initially the decision was, I'm going in the opposite direction. And he had a change of heart, and he did the will of God, and this great city saw revival. Amen? But there is a choice on Jonah's part. It's the same for us as well. God speaks to us. What will our response be to His word? Turn with me in Genesis to chapter 4. We're just going to touch on this story about Cain. Of course, Adam and Eve sinned, and they were put out of the garden, and they began to have children. And so Cain was the firstborn, and Abel was the secondborn. It says in verse 3 of chapter 4, in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Verse 6, so the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching, lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. So we have this thing happening where these two brothers offer sacrifice, offer their worship. And Abel offers his best, the firstborn of his flock and the fat. He gives high quality worship. And Cain, not so much. He didn't give his best. He gave something that was poor quality. And the Lord had an issue with it. And he came and he spoke to Cain about it. We call this having the tough conversations at times. And we do this in relationships with our wife, with our children, with friends, with people that we care about. Sometimes we sit down and we have a tough conversation. And it's not that we're trying to berate somebody. It's not that we're trying to belittle somebody. It's not that we're trying to whatever. It's because we love the person that we want to have the tough conversation. You know, when you said that to me yesterday, that really hurt. And can we work through this? And so the Lord is having the tough conversation with Cain. You know, this is what I see in you, Cain. Have you ever had one of those tough conversations? Have you ever been on the receiving end of a tough conversation? And our initial reaction is, I don't like this. Right? Yeah, Ryan. I don't know what you're talking about, but that's not me. I mean, can we be honest? Is that us sometimes? Right? The tough conversation. And so the Lord's having this tough conversation with Cain, and it almost reminds me of the lyric of an old Rich Mullins song. The name of the song was Hold Me, Jesus. And this one line says, "Surrender don't come natural to me. I'd rather fight you for something I don't really want than to take what you give that I need." Been there? Yeah. Yeah. And it goes on to say, "And I've beat my head against so many walls. Now I'm falling down. I'm falling on my knees." Have you ever been there? Yeah. Yeah. So the Lord lovingly comes to Cain and says, "This is what I see. And you're kind of at a crossroads. And you can decide to do what I'm asking you to do, or you can decide to do something else. And if you decide to do something else," he kind of gives like sin this persona, that it's almost like this, in my mind, like this crazed animal that's crouching, that's ready to pounce, right? And sin has pounced on me before. I understand what that's like. Maybe some of you can relate as well. But you're at this crossroads, Cain. What are you going to decide to do? What's your response going to be to what I'm sharing with you? And of course, we know the story. He does not choose wisely, and he ends up murdering his own brother. That was his response. We have a response whenever God comes to us, has a tough conversation, or asks us to do something that maybe is out of our comfort zone. Something that we think is impossible. There's a response on our part. God was asking Cain to steward something that he was capable of stewarding well. Remember the parable of the talents. Jesus said, "And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability." So each of those three had the prospect of stewarding well what he was given. And that's where Cain is right here. The potential was there for him to steward it well, this word that God was sharing with Cain, right? But his response showed that he chose to not steward it well. Amen? Cain really didn't want to hear what God had to say to him. And we can all identify with that. Amen. So here's Cain. The Lord has lovingly spoken to him. What will Cain do with that word? When God speaks to us, what will we do with that word? Amen? Just because you don't want to hear it, don't reject it. Don't ignore it. Amen? You know, we just had a... Trish and I are making some decisions about what's going to affect her work career, and for long term. And we're looking at some possibilities, and we're talking about some things and considering some things, and she's really excited about getting into this one field that's going to help a lot of people that deal with mental health issues, and she's very excited about it, and I'm like her cheerleader. I'm like cheering her on, and yes, I have peace about this. I feel like you should step into this. But we got to this point where we had to have a tough conversation, because I felt like she was honed in on one aspect of something that was much larger. And it wasn't that I wanted to bring her down. It wasn't that I wanted to discourage her. But I wanted to say, hey, I know you're focused on this, but can we pull back a little bit and look at some other things that might be kind of challenging? And to hear me say it like that, you'd say, well, that's reasonable, you know. But the way I shared it with my wife, I don't think it came across that way. Anyone been there before? Yeah, right. And so we had to have a tough conversation about it a couple days later. And she said, "Kurt, I know that what you were sharing with me was truth, and I appreciate that, But do you have to be so intense when you share that with me? Right? And look, she's right. Sometimes I am way too intense. I've been an athlete my whole life. I've been a coach at times. And sometimes it's very easy for me to slip into that mode, you know? And I just want, I care about you and I want to get my point across. Like, lights are going off all over the place because everyone says that, yeah, I'm that way or I know somebody like that. And that's the challenge sometimes, even when we hear a word from the Lord, or especially when the Lord uses somebody else to speak a word to us. Because now it's coming through the filter of this person, right? And just like me, what I was sharing was truth, but it was just way too amped up, right? But my wife, to her credit, was able to navigate through all of my to hear the truth of the word that I was sharing. Amen? And what a lesson for all of us. Because the Lord will use other people at times to speak to us. Right? Why would he do that? Well, sometimes we're just not mature enough to understand the voice of God. You know, Samuel heard somebody calling his name. He thought it was Eli. And he went to Eli a couple times. And finally, the light bulb clicked on with Eli. And he said, it's the Lord. Sometimes that's where we are. We don't understand the Lord's even speaking to us. And so he'll speak through somebody else. We understand, oh, okay, I have a relationship with this person. I trust this person. They've shared stuff with me before. I can receive from them. Sometimes the Lord will do that in his grace. Amen? Sometimes we don't want to hear from the Lord. Remember whenever Moses is leading Israel through the wilderness, and it was the Lord's idea, bring the people to the mountain. I want to meet with them face to face. And what was their response? They said, uh-uh. We don't want to meet with the Lord face to face. Moses, you go meet with him face to face. Come back and tell us what he said. Right? Sometimes that's just where we are, right? And in his grace, in his love, he was willing to do that. Amen? Sometimes he also chooses to speak to us through his prophets. And we experienced that this morning. Why does he do it that way? Well, he's God, and he can choose to do it that way, right? He has a kingdom government that he has established. And sometimes he simply chooses to speak to us through prophets. And so, again, when we hear the Lord speak to us through another person, sometimes we have to work through the filter of their personality to really hear what the Lord is saying to us, like Trish had to with me. Amen? But let's not throw the word out because we don't like the vessel that God's using. Let's not discard it, disregard it, reject it because of the vessel. Because the Lord may be trying to show us some very important things in our lives. We don't want to have to go around the mountain how many times before we get it. So when somebody shares a prophetic word, when there's prophecy that's shared, where does that originate from? From the prophet? If it's true prophecy, it originates from the heart of God. And again, the prophet is the vessel that shares that word with the person or the group of people. So when we're hearing from a prophet, we're hearing the word of God through that vessel. And I only share that to point out the importance of that word. This isn't so-and-so's great idea that he came up with. This is the word of the Lord. This is the living word that can do something in me, that can empower me, that can enable me, that can correct me, that can get me back on track. Amen? This is a very important thing we're talking about. I'm going to keep this short. And I just want to remind us that we've heard some from from some prophets earlier this year. Remember, Jeff and Nancy Clark were with us back in February, I believe. And they shared some really powerful things with us. And I just want to remind us of some of those things. This is really what I felt the Lord was stirring in my heart to share with us this morning. And on three different occasions, there was this idea of a joining with another group of people, even people from a different culture. And I just want to remind us of that. Nancy shared, and this is just a little snippet of a larger word that she shared with us, but Nancy said prophetically, God has entrusted us with His bride and with His kingdom. Share the gospel. And she went on to say, get ready to be joined, like a marriage with another group, even another culture. And of course, for some of us, our minds go to the Landons right away, because they're on this amazing adventure in endeavoring to adopt some children from Ukraine. And I think last I heard, the number's up to 5.
Actually, I have a
brief report. Yeah, good. Please share, yes.
She had a message direct from our agency saying, hey, get your paperwork ready, make sure everything's in order, because the lady who's going to be translating from English to Ukrainian is here in the States. Uh-huh. And so she's going back to Kyiv on the 28th, have everything ready, because we think that some things are going to happen in September.
Woo! Yes! 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 Wow, that's awesome. Because everything has kind of been just on hold for a period of time now. But, wow, this is awesome. Things are moving forward. And, so happy for you guys. But, obviously, these kids that they're going to adopt are from Ukraine. They're from another culture, right? Which goes perfectly in line with what Nancy's sharing with us. Jeff shared with us, there will be a joining. Joining of the yokes with this oxen. Our call is from Him, and our commission is with Him. Offer those in need your care and concern, your attention, impartation. Let them see your example. And then again, Nancy shared with us, so know that what I promised you, what I said would come to pass, it will surely come to pass. This house will be filled. The lambs and the sheep will fall, and they will bring forth lambs in the spring. There shall be a multiplication. There shall be a joining. I will bring the prodigal, the outcast, the disenfranchised, the wayward sons and daughters, and even those that are burned out and their lamps have gone out from the priesthood. And they will come here, and they will be lit again by the superfluous overflow of your stewardship. This will be a supply house where the oil runs in large fashion that anoints and brings healing. The oil that anoints the priest and the king. The oil that brings worship unto me, says the Lord. And it goes on from there. And so it's very easy to think of these kids that are going to be adopted by Adam and Becky coming from another culture. And does that word apply to that? I think absolutely. But does it apply to these other people coming from another culture as well? I absolutely believe, I don't think it's either or, I think it's both and. Amen? The prodigal, the outcast, the disenfranchised, the wayward sons and daughters, those that have been burnt out in ministry. And so the Lord is speaking to us and saying this, and this, I believe this is the word of the Lord. This resonates within me. Some of us have been talking about this, praying into it. This resonates with me. I believe the Lord is speaking to us in this way. So what's our response going to be? How will we respond to this? Will we discard this? Will we ignore it? Will we say, oh, wow, that was great, and then it just kind of falls by the wayside? Or will we be intentional and give ourselves to what we believe the Lord wants to do in our midst? It can't be status quo if we're going to be intentional in responding to this word. Something's got to change. And something as simple as will I make a place in my heart for these people from another culture? Whether it's the kids from Ukraine, or whether it's some backslider that's strung out on drugs that the Lord brings here and has entrusted us to love that person and to share Jesus with that person. If I'm blasé about it, guess what? It's probably not going to happen. I need to be intentional to make room in my heart for these people from other cultures that the Lord's bringing in. I just briefly want to share a couple of stories. I read this great book. I highly recommend it. We had Dr. David Ireland with us at the Elam Leaders Meeting Conference a few years back. And he pastors a large church in New Jersey, and he's written several books. And this One in Christ, that I read recently is tremendous. And I just want to share a story from here that kind of illustrates what it would look like to make room in our hearts for somebody from another culture. He says, a graduate student was to live with a Navajo family for several months to complete his dissertation on the Navajo Indians. The matriarch of the family, a wise old grandmother, spoke no English, and the doctoral student spoke no Navajo. Yet a bond developed between the two, partly with the help of the old woman's children who spoke English. The student and the grandmother grew very close. Several months later, when the graduate student completed his research, it was time for him to return to the university. The members of the Navajo village threw a farewell party for him. After the party, he was getting into his car when he saw the grandmother walking out of the house with tears streaming down her cheeks. She came right up to the student, the first white friend she had had in her 82 years of life. She tenderly placed one hand on the left side of his face and the other hand softly on his right cheek, looked him square in the eyes, and said in the best English she could muster, "I like me best when I'm with you." At that, the young man lost it. He and the grandmother wept together because they personally experienced how crossing cultures brings out the best in you. When we remain in our own cultural world, parts of us, the good parts, the lovely parts, and the culturally important parts, lie dormant. That's what it looks like when we live outside of our culture, when we live cross-culturally. And that's what God is calling us to do in this season. What will our response be to that? I believe the word of the Lord is so clear to us. And I don't want us to miss out on what God, the amazing thing that God wants to do in this house, that, as Pastor Phil said, and Cheryl as well, will affect not only this house. We got to get it out there as well. We got to get it into Newville, into Carlisle, into Shippensburg, Harrisburg. Amen? God wants to do something. He wants to explode in this place in such a powerful and awesome way. How are we going to respond to that? Are we going to say, "Oh yeah, that was a great word that Kurt preached this morning"? Or are we going to give ourselves to that word and be intentional to flow in what God wants to do here? The choice is ours, just like the choice was Cain's. What are you going to do with this word? Amen? Let me just share one more quick story and then we'll wrap up. To love people, you must make room in your heart for them. Your love for them should not be based on what they do or don't do. Christians are called to love people, even the unlovable ones. Christians are called to love people through actions and not merely with words. This truth is illustrated in the story of theologian William Barclay as he tells us about a group of World War II soldiers. The soldiers lost a friend in battle and wanted to give their fallen comrade a decent burial. They found a church with a graveyard behind it surrounded by a white fence. They asked the parish priest if their friend could be buried in the church's graveyard. "Was he Catholic?" the priest inquired. "No, he was not," answered the soldiers. "I'm sorry then," said the priest. "Our graveyard is reserved for members of the Holy Church. But you can bury your friend outside the fence. I will see that the gravesite is cared for." "Thank you, Father," said the soldiers, and they proceeded to bury their friend just outside the graveyard on the other side of the fence. When the war ended, the soldiers decided to visit the gravesite of their friend before returning home. They remembered the location of the church and the grave just outside the fence. They searched for it, but couldn't find it. Finally, they went to the priest to inquire about its location. "Sir, we cannot find our friend's grave." "Well," answered the priest, "after you buried your fallen friend, it just didn't seem right to me that he should be buried outside the fence." "So you moved his grave?" asked the soldiers. "No," said the priest, "I moved the fence." To love people from across the racial divide, you must be willing to move your fence to include them in your heart. Yeah. Are we willing to move some fences in our hearts? Because listen, the influences and the things that we're hearing on a regular basis are telling us to not move the fence. They're telling us to stand firm. They're telling us, and I'm not saying we shouldn't, you know, make a stand for truth. I'm not saying that at all. But it can so easily play out, "Oh, you're affiliated with what political party? Okay, I won't talk to you. Oh, you have this stance on this political item? Oh, okay, well, I guess you're written off as well." It can be so easy for us to have that attitude. And that's what everybody is telling us to do. But that's not what God's telling us to do. He's saying, "I'm bringing these people from another culture. Will you make a place in your heart for those people?" This is a big responsibility. We have the prospect of stewarding this well. He's giving this to us, this assignment, if you will, according to our ability. Evidently, he thinks we're up for the task. He thinks we can steward it well. But it will be determined by how we respond to the word of the Lord. Amen? And my prayer is that we would respond well and that we would steward this well, that we would steward these people well. And listen, this goes so along with our core values. I don't think I have a slip with me. But one of the things, I did the all-in class this morning, and one of the things that we brought out was, at CLCC, we value people. People are more important than programs. Amen? People are, and so this assignment is in line with who we are here at CLCC. Amen? So if you'd stand with me in prayer, we're going to close. And, you know, what does this look like in Scripture? When somebody responds well to the word of the Lord and stewards it in a good way. You know, what comes to mind is when Jesus had the encounter with the Samaritan woman at the well. And what happened as a result of a conversation that literally never should have happened between these two people. Remember when Jesus asked for the drink? And she said, "How is it that you asked me for a drink? Because the Jews have nothing to do with the Samaritans." Culturally, there was a big chasm between these two people groups, between these two cultures. And so the conversation never should have happened. But Jesus only did those things he saw the Father do, only said those things he heard the Father say. And so he had this amazing encounter, shares a word of knowledge with her. She gets excited because she realizes she's talking to a prophet, goes back and tells the whole town. The whole town gets saved, all because of a conversation that never should have happened to begin with. How many lives does God want to change through us in those conversations that wouldn't otherwise happen with somebody from a different culture? Oh, just think of the possibilities. It gets me excited. It gets my gears going. I want to be all in with this. I want to be intentional to steward this word well that the Lord's given us. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you that you have spoken to us. We thank you for this assignment that you've given to us to reach out and to build relationships and to steward well these people from different cultures that you're bringing to this house. Lord, it is humbling. It is amazing. It is a privilege to be about our Father's business. And so, Lord, we choose to respond well. We choose to give ourselves to this word. We choose to steward this word well, that you would change many lives. Many lives through our obedience to the word that you've given us. And Lord, we're not silly to think that we'll do this in our strength, with our great ideas, with our ingenuity. But Lord, as you fill us with your power, as you fill us with your love, as you fill us with your wisdom, we'll step out and we will do an amazing job in the power of your Holy Spirit. And so we just ask that you would seal this in our hearts and cause us to be intentional to walk this out well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you all for coming. You are dismissed. Again, great to have the McNeils with us. Wish you the best on the rest of your journey back to New York. Bless you.